Welcome to Today on Broadway for Memorial Day, May 30th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini. As James and I told you last week, in light of the three-day holiday weekend, we're going to have a slightly different type of show today. Instead of our normal news-based banter and James's dad joke transitions, we're going to bring you the audio from my recent interview with the incomparable Dame Judi Dench. I've been fortunate in my career, either covering sports, theater, or TV and movies, to interview some people that I was very excited to speak with. That excitement never really goes away when preparing for a big interview, especially in those tense few seconds before your subject picks up the phone. Yet, the more you have the opportunity to speak to individuals that you've long admired, the more it becomes easier, the more your nerves subside. That was not the case in this instance. Over the 2 months from pitch to publication, my excitement and nerves remained unusually high any time that I thought about the interview actually coming to fruition. I mean, it's not every day that you have the opportunity to speak to a Dame Commander of the Order of the British Empire, a Tony and Oscar winner, a record-setting 8-time Laurence Olivier Award winner, and, frankly, one of the greatest actors to ever grace either stage or screen. However, as one very well might imagine, my nerves quickly dissipated, but never completely disappeared, when I heard Dench's familiar, soothing voice say, "Hello." Befitting the stature and universal respect that accompanies her place in our society, Judi Dench was kind, gracious, thoughtful, and wise. Here's our conversation.
Hello.
Hello, this is Matt from Broadway World. How are you?
Hello, Matt. I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do this today.
Not at all. Not at all. Thanks for phoning.
No, absolutely. And congratulations on your Olivier for The Winner's Tale last month.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, we had such a lovely time doing it. I'm very sad it finished. It was just such fun to do it. It was wonderful.
Now, you performed in The Winner's Tale before. What was it about this production with Kenneth Branagh's theater company that...
Well, actually... Yes, the last time I did perform, and it was absolutely thrilling. It was, I think, in 1969, and Trevor Nunn asked me to play Hermione, and I remember saying to him, "It can't be Mother's part yet, is it?" And he said, "I'm afraid it is." But then he came back to me a little while later and said, "I think we could double Hermione and Perdita." Which it had been done before once by Mary Anderson with Forbes Robertson a very long time ago indeed, and that was very exciting, and so it was wonderful to come at it from a different angle this time, and of course with Ken Branagh, who I knew so well, who's playing not only directing but playing Leontes as well. So it was exciting, and I hadn't really, because I was so busy playing Amalie and Perdita before, I hadn't really noticed what a wonderful part Paulina was. And indeed, Brenda Bruce was wonderful as Paulina in that production.
That's wonderful. A lot has been made about that being your record-breaking 8th Olivier, but it is your actually third for a Shakespearean role. With all of the stuff you have been able to do in your career on stage and screen, why is it that fairly regularly you find yourself returning to Shakespeare?
Because that's my passion, Matt. I was taken as a little girl to see my brothers at their school. I think I must have been 8 or so, in The Taming of the Shrew and in Julius Caesar. I just remember then, I mean, my second brother, who died last year, had always wanted to be an actor, and I think I might have just caught it from him, really. Simply loved. My parents were very enthusiastic about Shakespeare, so we were taken to see lots of Shakespeare as children, and then I got into the Old Vic, which was fantastically lucky.
Yeah, I think a lot of American theater fans recognize this. I mean, we saw the big anniversary celebration that you were part of last month, but we don't really understand how important William Shakespeare's works and legacy is to not only the London theatrical community, but really to the United Kingdom as a whole.
It is. We use, you know, his words. We colloquially use his words all the time. We don't realize it, but we do. I mean, he's a completely integral part of our upbringing, really. Even if you don't know it,
yeah.
You're quoting him nearly every day.
Absolutely. Well, the reason we are getting to speak today is that you are one of a handful of actors featured in this new album, Shakespeare Exits and Entrances, along with your late brother Jeffrey and his grandson Oliver and the great David Suchet and Amelia Fox. I believe it was your brother who got you involved with the project, correct?
I think it was. He knew Mike Ritson, who put it all together. And anyway, working with Jeff was a joy anyway. We did it at Stratford several times. You don't need much urging to do that.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Mike Ritson and Jackie Williams, who put together the album. Did they select the pieces that you performed, or did you have a hand in that process as well?
No, I'm not sure. I can't remember. I think that there were quite a lot of suggestions, and we came up with suggestions too. And I think it was a kind of amalgam of both things.
Yeah.
I mean, the sonnets, you know, at Stratford, and at Stratford you work very much on the sonnets when you're learning to speak Shakespeare. So the sonnets were, you know, we knew many of the sonnets by heart. And so that was lovely to do. Lovely.
Yeah, and I was going to ask about the sonnets because, you know, from a theatrical standpoint, unless you're in an acting school or something like that, or in an English class, you don't often hear those performed as well, just as an audience member. So was it exciting or rewarding to be able to put those in a project for the greater theatrical fandom to be able to hear those?
Yes, I think it is. I think it was, because many are known. You know, many of them are known. But perhaps not all of them. You know, Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day? Mm-hmm. And sonnets that are very well known, and then some not so well known. I remember when we were at Stratford in, which time was it? I think in about 1969-70, John Barton, who, of course, was a director there with Peter Hall, he bought a wonderful house called Hillborough, which in a Shakespeare chronicle was called Haunted Hillborough. And he and his wife moved in, and they did feel a bit uneasy. So he sat one night and he went through every single sonnet, sat there and kind of exorcised whatever ghost it was, or maybe the ghost got tired. I don't know. But anyway, he went away. But to hear John speaking them was simply wonderful. I did a class with him once at the Young Vic, I think, with Ian McKellen. And what he didn't know about sonnets was not worth knowing.
That's wonderful. Well, Sonnet 30 has always been one of my favorites, so to hear you perform that was really thrilling for me. Do you have a favorite track on the album, either something that you performed or something your brother or somebody else did?
I absolutely loved Antony and Cleopatra, and I did it at the National in...
Of course.
I can't remember when, with Tony Hopkins. So I got a bit of a chance to do I Dreamt There Was an Emperor Antony again, and that was lovely to do.
That's
you know, and you can you always make mistakes, and each time you think, maybe this time I'll get it better.
Well, I think that's a good thing for all aspiring actors to know, that someone of your caliber acknowledges that you make mistakes at times as well. So that's a
that's
a good lesson.
Oh, many.
Yeah.
I've
listened to the CD a number of times now, and it's really a wonderful recording, because not only does it sound wonderful with Jackie's music and all of you great actors.
Yeah, so the music, isn't it lovely?
It is. It's very nice. And what was interesting as I was kind of doing a little bit of research is that they wanted to do, obviously, some sort of classical music, but not something that relied kind of on the traditional medieval type of things. How did that work? Did they play the music for you before you performed the work?
Not at the time. We did hear it. But we didn't record the music and then a sonnet, or the sonnet and then the music. But we had all heard it.
Yeah.
And so we roughly knew what would be where.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, as someone who's kind of dedicated a large part of your career to classical works and Shakespeare, as well, as you said, is your passion, how important is it for you to continue to champion projects like this, be it in an album or a play or a film, so that people have the opportunity to realize that these works are just as vibrant and resonant today as they have been for the past four centuries?
Well, that's what we hope always to do. I mean, I have to rely very much on knowing them now because my eyesight is so bad. But you know, it's the thing of young children and school children maybe kind of thinking, oh, I don't know, I don't want to go to a Shakespeare. You know, one good production, and you kind of catch them, and you think there's the audience for the future, or even some of them. Do you know? Mm-hmm. If you can just, it's not an archaic language. It's somebody who knew about love and knew about jealousy and knew about envy and knew about joy and youth and old age, and you know. And so if you can really, the sonnets I know are much more difficult, I think. But the play, with the plays, you know, it's a question of telling the story really well. And if you can, then you know, young school children might maybe want to see more. I remember once being taught As You Like It, and they said, you just read five lines and then pass it to the next person. Well, it was regardless of who was speaking. So it made a complete kind of nonsense of it. But if you can do it with enthusiasm and, you know, say, this is something you actually know about. It just happened that Shakespeare put it into these words, which you can understand. It's not a... it's not a language that is foreign to you in any way.
Well, similarly, my love of theater started with a school project about Shakespeare, so it definitely still works.
Oh, well, I'm really pleased. I'm so pleased to hear that.
Yeah, and I haven't looked back since.
No, that's wonderful.
Yeah, well, I'm calling from America, and I have to ask, it's been 17 years since you've actually been on Broadway, and obviously the UK is home, but you've done a lot of plays since that last time you've been here in New York. Is there any chance that we'll see you back on stage in the States anytime soon?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm going to start a film with Stephen Frears in September, and then... So I've got quite a lot of work suddenly coming up, but I keep my fingers crossed, because we had Amy's View, gosh, we had the most incredible time, wonderful, wonderful time on Broadway, and I have several friends, good friends in New York, and so it was we were very spoiled.
Well, that's
and
good.
So I never, you know, it might come along. Who knows?
Yeah. Are there any roles, Shakespearean or otherwise, that you haven't played in your incredible career that you'd like to? I know they're still casting Grisabella for the Broadway revival of Cats as we speak.
Oh, right. Oh, right, are they? Yeah. Oh, there you are. Nearly got to do that.
Yeah.
If I hadn't fallen over and done my Achilles tendon.
Yeah, how did that happen? Yeah, I know the story, just
rehearsing.
The basic one. Was it in rehearsal?
Yes, rehearsing. Rehearsing about, not that long before we opened. Rehearsing with Wayne Sleep and Gillian Lynn. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I don't know whether you actually do hear it go off. I remember in the Comedy of Errors at Stratford, Nick Grace, playing one of the Dromios, jumped off the stage and his Achilles tendon snapped. And he said he heard it like a shotgun. I don't know if anybody else hears it, but you certainly do. So I knew what had happened straight away. So they then delayed the opening a bit, and I went back to rehearse in plaster, because she's a kind of clapped-out old cat anyway, Grisabella, it didn't matter, and fell off the stage at the New London, so it was impossible. Yeah. But I loved it. When I went to see it, I just loved it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well,
it was a pity, but there we are.
Yeah, and Elaine Page is now who Elaine Page is because of that accident.
Made
so,
a huge success, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, back to the original question. Are there any roles, Shakespearean or something else, that you are still striving to do?
I don't know. I'm not good at choosing. I absolutely don't. There aren't many of the plays I haven't done.
There's a big trend right now in New York with some theater companies, and obviously I think Helen Mirren played Prospero in a film. Are there any kind of the traditional male Shakespeare roles that you would be interested in playing?
No, I got to play one line of Hamlet in the Shakespeare weekend.
Yeah, I saw
that. I was very, very overexcited. Very overexcited indeed. Oh, I loved it. I thought, well, at least I can say I played one line. Yeah. One line of Hamlet. Wonderful. Cool.
Well, that was a wonderful little sketch.
Isn't it clever? That boy is so clever.
Yeah.
I'm not over keen. I was with Glenda Jackson the other day, and I said to Glenda, "I hear you're going to play King Lear." She said, "Yes." It made me tired to think of it, actually. Gosh, that's a lot to get through.
It is.
She'll sail through it, of course, as she's been a very, very good MP. Perhaps that's good preparation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not very keen. I know it's old-fashioned of me, on cross-casting, much as it would be wonderful to say some of those lines.
Is it just to stick with the authenticity of what was written, or...?
I don't know. I think if you... Shakespeare's... I mean, he plays so much with the genders anyway.
Yeah.
With Viola, you know, pretending to be a boy. With Rosalind pretending to be a boy. He plays with all these things anyway. But if you further complicate it, I don't know. That's me. That's me, old-fashioned.
No, that's. I think your perspective on all things Shakespearean is as good about as anybody else's. I'll wrap it up on this. Do you go out and see a lot of theater, either in the UK or when you're filming somewhere else in the world?
I see what I can. I don't see as much now, because I find that, you know, when you're filming, if you're not called, then you're usually lying down learning the next day. And if you are called, you're much too tired to go to the theatre. But I see it, and I see my daughter, of course, when I can, and friends, and go as much as I can. And have been to see Ken Branagh's company, you know, the Garrick, where we did Winter's Tale. They've just opened Romeo and Juliet, so I must go along and see that. And then he's about to do The Entertainer next, so I shall go and see that too.
Is there anything that you've seen recently that really struck with you?
Not
to put you on the spot.
No, I saw, it's over now, so that's why I was thinking. I saw the Ken and Rob Brydon, the play at the Garrick called The Painkiller, which is a farce, which is terribly funny, which I loved. But it's finished now,
yeah.
Which is a pity. And so a friend of mine is going to take me to Showboat, which is just opened.
Oh, wonderful,
here.
Yeah.
All those wonderful songs. I love a musical. Sing along a bit.
Yeah. Well, and you've done a few musicals, but not very many over the course of time.
Cabaret and...
Is Little Night Music the last one?
Yes, Good Companions. Yes, Little Night Music was the last one.
Wow. And that's been over 20 years now.
Oh, yes, I know. It's pathetic, isn't it?
Well, hopefully, whether it's a musical or something else, we'll see you again on stage, either in London or in New York soon. And continued success.
Lovely.
Yeah, continued success with everything. And good luck on the next film. And we look forward to seeing what you've got coming next.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate the time. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now.
The article that was born from this interview was published last Friday on BroadwayWorld.com and is in the show notes of this episode on Broadway Radio. Thank you for listening and or reading. I hope you will join us throughout this week on Today on Broadway, as we will be making some game-changing announcements for this little thing known as Broadway Radio. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWW Matt. Have a great Memorial Day, and we will talk to you tomorrow.